What's up, everyone? On this episode, we have Coach Liz Kay of Wacona High School in Massachusetts. Coach Liz has been a successful high school coach in the private and public realm. She's appeared in 2 state championships, appeared in 2 regional championships, won a league title, and has 2 Coach of the Year honors in Western Massachusetts. She's worked many summer camps over the years, including the prestigious Snow Valley Basketball Camp, and even been a mentor for USA Basketball's Women in the Game. On this episode, she shares her journey through coaching, mistakes that she's made, what it's like being involved in Snow Valley, how it's been coaching through COVID, and so much more. Let's roll it back and hear how it went. All right, Coach. So I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody at the beginning, and that is, how did you get into coaching?
Kind of a long, drawn out story, but ultimately I grew up in Durham, North Carolina, and I grew up going to Duke basketball games with my dad. So I've been in, came out of the womb in Duke diapers. And since then it was sort of ingrained in me to get involved in basketball. Played through high school. And then after college, I sort of fell into teaching and ultimately fell into the hands of one of the best coaches I've ever known. When I was in Boston, Massachusetts, after graduation, became an assistant coach under him and sort of found my way since.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So I understand that you've been a teacher, you've been a coach for a pretty long time. I'm curious to know, how has your coaching style or your philosophy or really anything, how you teach, how has that changed from year one to now?
I suppose the easy way to answer that is, I think everybody kind of gets into coaching and teaching, frankly, without an identity, other than how you were coached. And so I think originally, I simply just coached based on the limited knowledge I had of the few coaches I had been around, as well as sort of the coaches that I grew up with. And sort of then you begin to develop your own personality. And frankly, lucky for me, I've been surrounded by some of the best in the game. So they have sort of pushed me beyond my comfort zone to be uncomfortable. And I think that that's a really important piece of how I've become who I am as a coach, just simply because you develop over time sort of the things that make you, set you apart from what you're originally taught.
So then on the flip side of that, what do you still do, you know, that you did in year one as a head coach that you still, it's stuck in your DNA, and that's just who you are as a coach?
I think every kid that I've ever coached knows that when I go into the gym, I act like and want to be the most passionate person in the gym. I care deeply for my players. I don't think that that's something that you develop with your coaching philosophy over time. I think it's innate. You know, I think from day one, my ultimate goal is to be able to go to the weddings of my former players. So you only get invited to those weddings if you know that if they know that you care about them deeply, and that has not changed in the 20 years I've been doing this.
That's awesome. What are some mistakes that you made earlier in your career, and how'd you learn from them?
Well, I think on the flip side of that, I think sometimes you can care too much, not in the sense of caring for your players, but I think, you know, you can't instill that in them as well. And I would say that sometimes if I felt like my players were handling things in a way that was different from the way that I do, you know, sometimes I felt like because I could care that I could also yell at them, for example. Not to say that I don't have my moments, but I have a lot less of them than I used to. I think I've found that sometimes silence speaks more loudly than yelling. I think that I've tried to micromanage way too much earlier in my career. When you make it a goal to surround yourself with coaches that are better than you are, you better listen to them, and you better be okay with getting feedback that may not align with what you thought. And so for me, not just hearing people, but actually really listening to them and humbling yourself to take that feedback has been something that has been a work in progress for me over the years. But I think I was a little too closed off from that early on.
I'm going to ask you to dive into that response a little bit deeper if you can, maybe like if you have any specific examples and how you learn from those specific examples.
You know, I can remember earlier in my career, the first public school job I took, which was sort of my first sort of bigger head coaching job. I was fortunate to sort of ease my way in. We were able to hire a JV coach who was incredibly subtle and humble enough to realize that he could give me feedback and teach me without being coming across as though he was stepping on my toes. Mm-hmm. So for example, I would say, you know, we're going to go scout a game and we'd be sitting there and he'd say, well, have you thought about this? You know, and ultimately my first response was always, well, of course I have, you know, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. But ultimately I think I, a lot of times was doing something that simply made me comfortable that I perhaps had learned as a player or that simply I just knew more about, when in reality, perhaps strategy would have been very, very different. You know, I've had a lot of those conversations sort of retroactively, you sit down for drinks after a game with the coaching staff and a lot of the mistakes that perhaps we could have avoided, were things that perhaps I might get defensive about earlier on in my career. And now I realize that that's just a part of coaching in general. And that, you know, it's not just about the preparation. It's actually doing a lot of things on your feet that you're going to make mistakes doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned earlier how younger in your career, you essentially were the coach that you were because of who you were coached by. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about the type of coach that you were just based on the coaches that you had that kind of molded you.
I would say that I was the kind of coach that I think I was a yeller. I think I thought that was the way to sort of instill my will in the players that I have. And the reality is you can't force your personality on other players and they need to be treated very differently. I would say, however, on the flip side of that, in terms of the positive nature of it, is that the coaches that cared the most about me were the ones that I played the hardest for. And so the coaches that were there 30 minutes before practice, just saying, hey, my door is open if you just want to talk about your day, those were the coaches that I played the hardest for and enjoyed playing the most for. You know, you can't walk into a gym for 2 hours, care for that 2 hours, walk out, and then, you know, not be a part of these kids' lives. And especially in high school was no picnic for me, especially for girls. I think middle school and high school are pretty tough times. I think kids need somebody other than their parents to kind of help them navigate through, you know, the things that they face every day. And especially in COVID, you know, that connection is a little bit harder to have, right? Because we haven't really been allowed to be around each other. So that's something that I've had to work a little bit harder at because I don't get to see those kids every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you sort of mentioned essentially the idea of coaches needing to be a bit more empathetic towards their players. I feel like that's something that we see a lot today is coaches have this, well, you know, I had to do this mentality so they can get through it. Or her ankle injury isn't that bad. Like I've rolled my ankle before, or I could run the mile in 6 minutes when I played. So, you know, like, I feel like that's how a lot of coaches can be.
Yeah.
And just because you did those things, or you had a super high pain tolerance, or you were strong through your parents' divorce, doesn't mean that that's how your players are. So I think that that key point, and you touched on it, is we just need to be more empathetic and not expect our players to be able to be as strong or as tough as we are. Sometimes they're tougher.
Right.
So I don't want to butcher.
And it's a different generation, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. I think that our internet cut out, but what I was going to say was, I don't want to butcher the name, but is it Wakona?
Oh, Wakona.
Wakona. Okay. So tell me a little bit.
You're not the first.
Tell me a little bit about the culture at Wakona High School, and where does that culture stem from? How you created it?
You know, I wish I could say I created it, but I can say that when I remember walking in to interview for the job, and I knew early and often how important the youth program and the development of not just players in basketball, but the youth program in general for our area is phenomenal. Kids are three sport athletes. They've got a ball in their hands when they're in third grade. They've done a great job of providing opportunities for them to play competitively in town. It's incredibly well organized. And I can't say enough about how far ranging that goes in terms of the influence that they have long before they get to me. And that includes sort of the idea of off-season clinics. It means, working with our youth coaches. It means running summer camps for the kids from third grade up. It means that it's instilled in the high school players that they are expected to be a strong piece of making us so much more programmatic rather than team, you know, by itself team oriented. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that was the first stepping stone that has just sort of instilled so much of our culture, from day one. And before I even started that year, I was running summer camps for the program and I never even met the kids. I think that that's the most crucial piece of why we're so successful. My JV coach happens to be one of the heads of that youth program and welcomed me with open arms as well. And so that, I think that's been the biggest piece of our success coming in. And then I've been very fortunate to surround myself with great, great coaches. We have five coaches on our staff. One of which played professionally overseas, one of which was a former player, one of which is my husband, ironically. and so, you know, we picked up others along the way that have really given me such a sense of confidence, not only in providing feedback, but also providing sort of those, you know, to fill in those niches where I can't as the head coach. I instill so much confidence in them to do their thing because ultimately, and the kids talk to them more than they talk to me about things going on. So it's not repetitive, it's not boring, they get different voices. The winter season can drag on, as you know. And so I think those different voices and different ways of getting through to kids and different drills and different things that we do make kids excited to come to practice and excited to play in games. Whereas maybe if they were just hearing my voice, they wouldn't.
Yeah, definitely. That's key for them to hear more than just one voice. Cause like you said, they're going to eventually get over just hearing your coaching style and hearing from you.
Absolutely.
Yay. All right. So with that, you also have coached at Snow Valley basketball camps. And I mean, that's awesome in itself. I've personally never been, but you know, I grew up with a lot of teammates and friends who always went to Snow Valley, and just having some coaches on here that have also participated in Snow Valley, it sounds like it's amazing for not just the players, but the coaches, and it's long days and late nights. So I definitely, definitely something that I want to eventually do. But tell me, what are some takeaways? I'm sure there's a ton, but that you've gathered from Snow Valley.
You know, I've worked over the years. I mean, I've probably worked 25 different basketball camps run by various colleges and high schools, et cetera. Snow Valley coaches are some of the most passionate coaches I've ever been around. You know, we are in the gym at 6:15 in the morning before to do a session before breakfast. And specifically, I think of like Dave Bullwinkle, who is a scout for the Chicago Bulls. And being in morning sessions with this guy, I mean, he's in his 60s and comes into the gym and is showing kids how to take a charge. And he's already been on the bike for 15 minutes to warm himself up before he comes in, with more energy than anybody in the gym. You know, Coach Showalter obviously has a tremendous background and has been a tremendous leader with the USA youth programs. But the first thing he says to us when we get there is check your ego at the door. I don't care whether you're working with middle school kids or high school kids. This isn't about you. This is about them. And that sets the tone for what the experience is about. We're out of the gym at about 10 o'clock at night, but then we've got coaches who are running Chalk Talk clinics for other coaches from 10 until midnight. And then we're back at it at 6 a.m. Everybody always calls this group of coaches they call it the last of the Cowboys, because it really is sort of the passionate, you know, you're in it for so much more than just yourself. And I remember my first year, I came out of there after 4 days with 27 pages in notes. Now I do about a week and it's extensive. But more so than that, it's the relationships. And they don't let just sort of anybody in. I know that we're very protective of who we invite into that circle too. You know, I mean, I've been doing it now for 4 or 5 years, but I've only sort of brought one other person in that I know would be a great fit. Mm-hmm. It's not just a place you go work. It's a place that you have to embody.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's truly amazing. And to spend just a few days and to come up with 27 pages of notes, and I can't even imagine. That's so incredible. All right. So we are going through right now COVID-19, and I would say that shutdowns have been in place for the most part since March. So what's it been like, you know, coaching from March to now? What has your team been doing?
It's such a bizarre vortex of time that I will never fully wrap my brain around, I don't think. Massachusetts is one of the strictest states in the country in terms of what we can do and reopenings and athletics, et cetera. And, you know, it's something that, I mean, the last time I was in a massive crowd was when we played in the regional finals last March. And then it all just sort of went downhill from there. I mean, it's like, that's the last time I remember normal life. And then everything shut down, and then, you know, camps were canceled, and, you know, I learned what Zoom was, and, you know, and I'm teaching on Zoom, and I'm like, I don't even know what this is. You know, and ultimately it was sort of, at first it was like, okay, this is going to be really temporary. And then it turned into, okay, how do I still engage with my kids? And I will have to say, I would say that I'm so fortunate to have tremendous seniors this year, who have really taken the lead in, you know, understanding that their role is so much more than being, you know, captains for the season. It's been an ongoing discussion since day one of how do we keep people engaged? You know, when we really in a time couldn't be together. So, you know, it became sort of things like, all right, every 2 weeks, let's everybody, you know, I challenge you to have some trick shot and post it on Twitter. And like, let's see who can win that, to, you know, what is our season going to look like? And there's a lot of fear that's associated with not having a season potentially. You know, and my heart breaks for the kids that have already missed their fall season. So it's just sort of a work in progress. I think ultimately we're all just taking it day by day. We have been able to start informal sort of open gym practices, but obviously those are very limited in terms of what we can do. I'm learning how to blow a whistle with a mask on, which is very bizarre. You know, it's so much more driven by the kids than it is by me, because, you know, you're so limited in what you can do. Mm-hmm. But they've really done a phenomenal job of taking the lead on that. And hopefully we can get going in a couple of weeks. We're waiting to hear this week as to what those guidelines will be. And just sort of a side note on that, I know that one thing that they're going to do is they're going to make modifications to what we can do. I know down in Kentucky, they've said for some reason that the only modification they're making is that there's not going to be a jump ball. Now, I don't know how that helps, but I would assume that there are going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to do that we're not used to. And so those adjustments are going to be really crucial in terms of coaching and playing and all that. And again, it's why I'm so fortunate to have the coaches around me, because I feel like with the circles that I have, where I actually feel like I have a tremendous advantage over other coaches, because I can email the Snow Valley coaches or, you know, some of the other crew that I've gotten to know this summer and say, all right, hey guys, here's some guidelines they're putting in place. What do you think? How can I take advantage of this? Because it's going to happen and we have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You know, I'm in California, so we're obviously pretty strict too, just because we're so highly populated, and so it's definitely it's been a struggle as well since March, really. And you know, this whole concept of Zoom and what the heck is Zoom, and now Zoom is probably, I don't know if it was before, but it's got to be a multi-billion-dollar company if it wasn't. But it's funny, you know, there's coaches that have 1 year of coaching experience and 40, 50 years of coaching experience, but we're all equally experienced with coaching through COVID.
Right.
You know, we're all in the same boat, like you were saying. And just to touch on too what you said earlier in the podcast about how we can't just be coaches that coach for 2 hours when we're in the gym and then that's it, shut it off. And I'd say that this pandemic has been really eye-opening to that exactly right there, because we haven't been able to have a basketball in our hands. So this pandemic has proven to everyone, I would imagine, that what we're doing is so far beyond basketball, because we haven't been able to do it. And I would imagine people are still doing things with their teams, you know, without basketball. So it's just crazy. And with that, with this crazy, crazy world that we're currently living in, and I guess you don't really know because you're still waiting to see how things are going to go, but what are your expectations for this year? Let's say if you do have a season.
You know, it's actually, I think what's going to happen, and again, I this could all change given the nature of all that's going on right now. You know, I'm hopeful that we are at least able to play within our region, which is sort of what's on the slate right now. Luckily, in our region, we have two state champions that are in our league. So like the team that we lost to in the regional finals went on to win their second straight state championship. And then another team in our league won a state championship in a higher division. So, you know, we happen to have some of the best basketball in the state. And honestly, frankly, I think this will actually be the best team that I've ever had. And I say that having had a lot of successful teams, including a player who's 11 points from 1,000. And, you know, it's just one of those things where for them, this is what they've been building for several years and since they were little. And obviously that's really, it's not really important in terms of the grand scheme of things. I mean, obviously we're dealing with things on a much more global scale that are more important, but, you know, in a time of isolation and you know, where you really have to look inward and you crave and miss that connection, you know, one thing that for us is it's really, as much as I would like to say it's about wins and losses, sometimes it just isn't, you know, your perspective changes. And not only does it change for you and your players, but you hope it also changes on behalf of their families and their parents and everybody around, where it's just really got to be about taking advantage of every moment and every day and the opportunity to be together in a time when we really haven't been able to, whatever that means. You know, and I think that that's going to be the most crucial. And I think that that's what our kids really just want to be a part of, something bigger than themselves, you know, in person, when they really haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope that you have a season and that your team is able to meet face to face and do so in a safe manner, for sure. My last question for you is, do you have any advice for aspiring coaches?
You know, I suppose in any normal time, I would say, oh yeah, you know, A, B, and C, but you're right. Whether you've been coaching for 1 year or 30 years, coaching through COVID is a whole nother ballgame. We are all on level playing field. I guess for me in general, whether it be, you know, in COVID or not, I guess it would be the same, which is surround yourself with people that are better than you are. Make sure that you, when you apply for a job or look at jobs, that you interview them as much as they interview you. Because I think being a good fit for a program is more important than the status of a program, you know, or simply to take a job for the sake of taking a job. And I realize that's hard to say to somebody who's trying to get their foot in the door, but then if you want to get your foot in the door, put your foot in the door with people that are going to make you better. Because I think that that's been invaluable for me. And I sort of fell into it that way, where not only have I become a better coach because of what they have offered, but also I become a better person. And at the end of the day, you know, that's really what it's about, because that's what we're trying to teach our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot agree more. I don't think there's anything wrong with whether you're trying to get your foot in the door or not, with saying no to a position that just doesn't fit you. So awesome. Right. Well, thank you so much, Coach Liz. Coach K, what do you prefer, Coach K?
I get called a lot of things, so either is fine.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I truly appreciate it. And I wish you and your players the best of luck this year.
Same to you, Coach. Appreciate it.